the EU and me. Brought to you with the support of the Department of Foreign Affairs, Communicating Europe Initiative.
And good morning to you, and thank you for staying with us on the show this morning. We're continuing our series of EU and Me, This is Ireland. We're looking at how the country has changed since we voted to join the bloc 50 years ago. Today we'll examine the impact EU membership has had on people with disabilities and minority groups. And we're also going to be looking at EU measures to regulate social media in order to combat hate speech and fake news. And it is European Year of Youth, and how does it aim to give young people a greater voice? Now, we'll start this segment about what sort of impact, if any, EU membership has had for people with disabilities and minority groups. We're joined by Bridget Quilligan, Project Manager for Kerry Travellers Health and Community Development, and Joan Carthy, who's an advocacy expert with the Irish Wheelchair Association. Good morning to you both. Do we have Joan there? Joan, we'll start with you. Thank you very much. How have regulations and directives from the EU, how have they helped tackle? We'll go to Joan presently. We'll start with Bridget, as we said, Bridget Quilligan, who joins us in the studio. Bridget, laws from Europe, how have they helped, if at all, in tackling discrimination that the traveller community have to deal with?
Tressa, I suppose something that the Comcarla said when we were awarded recognition of travel ethnicity sticks in my mind, and that is that on awarding us recognition of our ethnic rights, that we were entitled to no new laws or no new legislation, but we had the same rights all along as everybody else, but that they weren't enforced. And I suppose that sticks in my mind when I think about European legislation, that while we're an ethnic minority group, only national minorities have that extra layer of right within Europe. And the feedback on the ground from travellers and Roma right across Europe is that while we have the legislation there for travellers and Roma, it's not being implemented. So we're still experiencing great discrimination across accommodation, education, employment, despite legislation being there to protect all members of the EU.
So it's still, so even though the legislation is there, it's the implementation of it in practice is the issue.
Absolutely. So people are still experiencing discrimination at a great rate, despite these rights. Now, we do have independent strategies from the Council of Europe, which is an arm of the EU, that every country has to develop a travel and Roma strategy to ensure that countries are meeting, states are meeting particular points in order to help travellers and Roma achieve their equality within their states. Unfortunately, these are still falling short right across Europe, including Ireland.
Now, the Council of Europe, I understand, is actually a separate entity from the European Union. I know it can get quite confusing sometimes with the different various entities that we have. So what you're saying is, there's been very groundbreaking legislation or regulations from the EU since the 1970s, starting off, first of all, with dealing with workplace discrimination in terms of gender discrimination. And it's been broadened out to include protect people of minorities. And what you're saying is the legislation, it's admirable, the directives are admirable, the regulations are admirable, but it's putting it into practice on the ground, that's the issue.
Absolutely. And the underreporting of the discrimination from travellers, and I'm sure other minority groups, is a problem, in that we have underreporting, so most people don't report the discrimination and don't take cases around the discrimination. So the legislation is very difficult for the average person on the ground, even though it's made simpler to tackle. Most of the discrimination cases that will come in the door of Kerry Travellers at the moment are employment cases, where young people or people in employment have experienced discrimination and maybe lost their jobs because of it.
And if I could ask you, Bridget, in terms of legislation from Europe and the measures to deal with, to provide and offer better rights from people from minorities, one of the huge problems in recent years in terms of discrimination and abuse that minority groups have to deal, unfortunately as well, including the traveller community, is the online platform social media. Now we're going to talk about it in a few minutes with a lawyer about this, but there have been efforts from Europe, unlike say in the United States, to regulate the social media companies so that they have to take more responsibility and the onus falls more on them for hateful speech that is uttered on their platforms, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or whatever social media platform, and also in relation to the spreading of fake news. Does that give you, what's your reaction to that action is being taken? There's an act going through the EU at the moment called the Digital Services Act, which is intended to address social media societal harms by requiring these social media platforms, these giants, to more aggressively police their platforms for illicit content or risk billions of euro in fines. What's your reaction to moves like that from the EU?
It's very welcome because it's one of the main ways now that travellers and other minority groups are experiencing discrimination, hatred, and it's very difficult to tackle. And even key cases that have been taken around that have been lost in courts, even in Kerry. So it's really downhearted for people when they're open up their social media and see a splatter of things, or anti-racist things around travellers, and there's very little they can do. And if you contribute to it yourself, you yourself could get attacked for trying to correct a racist. And unfortunately, the social media platforms do very little to tackle this. So it's a very welcome move from the EU.
And of course, we should say, at the same time as these measures are coming from Europe, we're also going through the Oireachtas at the moment, is a bill to regulate social media, online advertising and streaming services, the Online Safety and Media Regulation Bill. In a moment, we will be talking to Joan Carthy, who's advocacy expert with the Irish Wheelchair Association, regarding efforts, regulation from EU and the impact, if any, it has had on protecting the rights of people with disabilities. But first of all, we will go to Barry Scannell, who's a solicitor at William Fry LLP and a member of the Law Society's Intellectual Property and Data Protection Law Committee. Barry, thank you very much for joining us on the line this morning. Barry, if I could ask you, first of all, in relation to measures by the EU to make the platforms, the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Snapchats, the Instagrams, more accountable for abusive, for hate speech, and for spreading fake news. What's your assessment of all that?
Well, I think. Well, first of all, thanks very much for having me on this morning. I think Europe is very much the global leader in relation to regulation of the move towards the digitalization of the world that we're experiencing, that started with the GDPR and started the dominoes falling. And we're now seeing, for example, in the United States, they're going through their own data protection legislation at the moment. And again, in relation to the online platforms, Europe, I do believe, is leading the way in terms of regulation. So, as I said, GDPR was the first piece of legislation that kicked things off, and now there's a whole plethora of other legislation linked to the online world, such as the Digital Services Act, the Digital Markets Act, which both of them are very much linked to the online platforms. But we're also going to be seeing the Data Governance Act, the Data Act, and the Artificial Intelligence Act as well. And all of these overlap, and they relate to how we conduct ourselves online and how we engage with platforms online. So some of the strongest measures being taken in those pieces of legislation are in relation to, as you've pointed out, hate speech, and certainly in relation to children as well, and protection of children, and protecting children from targeted ads, for example, and what the European Commission calls dark patterns in relation to algorithms which can nudge you in a certain direction towards certain content, and also in relation to, as you said, hate speech. And, you know, there's certain categories that are deemed illegal content and certain categories that are deemed harmful content. So illegal content would be stuff like hate speech, child abuse material, terrorist material, and also it does apply to things like copyright and counterfeit goods. But then there's harmful material, which is also being targeted by the legislation. And things like harmful material would be material which, such as cyberbullying, which is very problematic, but also material that encourages things like eating disorders or self-harm and things like that. So I think the European Union is being very proactive in that space.
And Barry, do you think that legislation would have been initiated here in Ireland, the Online Safety and Media Regulation Bill that's currently going through the Oireachtas, would that have happened if we weren't members of the EU, or do you think it's under pressure in part from the European Union?
Well, that's more of a political question, I think, that I wouldn't be versed enough in. But I have to say that in relation to the Online Safety and Media Services Bill, you know, a lot of what's in that will be required in future by European Union legislation. And we're actually ahead of the game, so to speak, in terms of some of the elements that we're bringing in. So, you know, certainly European legislation was on the horizon, but I have to say in my own personal opinion that Ireland has been quite proactive in certain elements in that regard, because we're going to be setting up a new media commission, and we're going to have a new media commissioner who's going to have to oversee all of these. And once that legislation is passed and the new media commission is set up, that media commission is going to put in place a code of practice and rules that service providers are going to have to comply with. And there are very strict penalties for failing to comply with those rules and codes of practice, and even criminal sanctions. And criminal sanctions even get to the level where senior management of certain platforms could be held criminally liable. So Ireland is very proactive in that regard in certain spaces, and a lot of what's in the Irish legislation is echoed in the European legislation. So when it comes time for Ireland to transpose the DSA, the Digital Services Act, for example, you know, we won't have to transpose the whole thing because we'll already have some of it in our own domestic law already.
Well, thank you for that insight there. We've been speaking to Barry Scannell, solicitor at William Fry LLP and member of the Law Society's Intellectual Property and Data Protection Law Committee, who's been outlining the measures by the EU and indeed by the Irish government to regulate social media giants in an effort to combat hate speech and to stop the spread of fake news. Before we go to break, I just want to come back to Bridget Quilligan, project manager of Kerry Travellers Health and Community Development. Barry was talking there about the legislation. Legislative measures from Europe and indeed from the Irish government to regulate social media, to curb so hate speech that unfortunately groups such as the traveller community have had to deal with. And it just struck me, Bridget, this series looks at how Ireland has changed since we voted to join the EU 50 years ago. And back in the 1970s and 80s, you would have seen at the time a movement within Ireland where minorities such as travellers started to have a voice being heard, where they started to exert their demand, rightful demand for rights and recognition and to address wrongs. And it just struck me that if there aren't curbs or if there aren't measures to address hate speech, that actually affects the free speech of others, particularly those from minority groups, because they're too afraid to speak up for fear of abuse they'll get.
Absolutely, Tressa. A lot of activists I know have even stopped speaking out publicly on social media platforms or using social media platforms. Even some don't do radio interviews anymore because their own social media accounts are attacked. Their places of work are attacked in terms of, you know, bombardment of phone calls, bombardment of emails. It's happened to myself. Sometimes the risk is just too high in speaking out, but we still have to continue because 11% of our deaths are associated with suicide. And when you talk about online speech, a number of weeks ago, three young travellers' children took their own lives through suicide because of cyberbullying. So the impetus is really on us to speak out, regardless of what the cost is. But it's very welcome to see measures being put in place to protect, I suppose, people's right to speak out safely. about our issues that we're facing.
Well, thank you very much for joining us in studio this morning, Bridget Quilligan, Project Manager with Kerry Travellers Health and Community Development. And if anyone's affected by anything that Bridget spoke about just there, you can contact the Samaritans anytime at 116 123. When we'll come back, we'll be hearing from the Irish Wheelchair Association's advocacy expert on the impact of the EU membership has had on people with disabilities. We'll be also finding out about European Year of Youth. And we're continuing our series of EU and Me. This is Ireland. We explore how this country has changed since we voted to join the bloc 50 years ago. And this morning we're examining, among other things, the impact EU membership has had on people with disabilities and minority groups. I'm delighted to say now we're joined on the line by Joan Carthy, who's advocacy expert with the Irish Wheelchair Association. Good morning to you, Joan. Thank you so much for joining us on Radio Kerry this morning. Tell me, Joan, in relation to EU membership, since we voted to join what was then the EEC back in 1972, how have, if any, regulations and directives from the EU, how have they helped tackle discrimination and assisted people with disabilities in the workplace?
Well, I suppose in some ways it has had a positive effect, us being part of the EU, in relation to some of the legislation that we have had to bring in over the years. So we now have, I suppose, the Equality Status Act, and we have the Employment and Equality Act, and we have a Disability Act from 2005. So they're the three acts, I suppose, that have been brought in over the last number of years to provide equality in relation to people with disabilities and to work against discrimination.
And have things improved in the 50 years, do you think, for people with disabilities in terms of being citizens of our society, or do you think things could still be a lot better?
Yes and no, I suppose. In some areas they have improved in relation to access to buildings and transport, little bit kind of in relation to access to employment, but not nearly enough. People with disabilities, approximately 38% of people with disabilities suffer from poverty. And Ireland actually to date is placed the fifth worst in the EU, or worst country in the EU in relation to poverty and social exclusion. So in a lot of ways things have not improved at all, and people with disabilities are very much being left behind.
And I suppose with the EU, it may no longer be the EEC, the European Economic Community, but it still has relatively limited competence when it comes to social policy, which would have a great bearing on legislation to improve the lives of people with disabilities, except when it relates to the economy, to markets and the workplace. And within the EU, the primary responsibility for policy and rights and services for people with disabilities still lies with national government. So really, I think it would take a major treaty changes and agreement among the 27 member states to give the EU more power to bring in regulation and directives that would have a direct impact, positive impact on the rights of people with disabilities as they still deal with issues such as discrimination and access issues.
You're absolutely right, and there does need to be a shift in that area. Most other countries spend about 2% of their GDPR in relation to within social protection and expenditure. Within Ireland, we're at 0.8%. So we're the second lowest country in the EU in relation to our spend on people with disability through social protection. So something has to change. I mean, we're all in a space where we're being hit by the cost of living, but people with disabilities have an extra cost in relation to their disability. And in a report brought out by Indicon through the Department of Social Protection late last year, it showed that people with disability have an extra expenditure from somewhere between 8,500 to 12,500 per year. And if you're on a disability benefit, your annual payout is only about 11,500. So it doesn't equate at all in relation to being able to live in Ireland with a disability.
And given the limits of the EU, rights for people with disabilities are they're more tailor made, and they're better if that person with disabilities is a consumer rather than general citizen rights. And I'll give you an example of this. There's been rules from the EU in recent years which improve access to air transport for older people and people with disabilities, so that, you know, for flights from the EU, companies can't refuse to carry passengers on the basis of reduced mobility, and they have to provide services for people with reduced mobility, and that they're obliged to provide certain services such as the carrying of wheelchairs or guide dogs free of charge. So from that perspective, the EU has gotten better at providing services or ensuring the rights of people with disabilities, but only if they're the consumer of a particular service, in this case air travel.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think something that you've just said there about people with disabilities being consumers, we're not often thought about as consumers enough. And people with disabilities, although I have said about the poverty, but there is a lot of people who do have money who are in employment and should be seen as people who can spend their money. And having services in relation to flying, that has improved, but we're still in a situation where when somebody travels with mobility aids such as a wheelchair, there's a huge fear that chair will not arrive on the other end at the same time as you, or in the same condition that it was put on. In many cases, wheelchairs can be treated like ordinary luggage and can be thrown into an airplane as cargo. And in a lot of cases, it gets damaged on the other side of it. So there's a lot of other things that are kind of in play when people with disabilities just try to live their lives.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning. Joan Carthy, Irish Wheelchair Association's advocacy expert. When we come back, we'll be finding out about European Year of Youth.
The EU and Me, brought to you with the support of the Department of Foreign Affairs, Communicating Europe Initiative.